We're now going to move into the question and answer session and go through the questions posted online. I do encourage you to keep typing in questions if you think of them. So, Rusty, actually, we have a question here for you that we'll go to. Do truck carriers sometimes provide information to Missouri DOT about incidents, traffic congestion locations that, in turn, the Missouri DOT is able to share with the traveling public?
Yes, we do receive. Motor carriers does receive information from our partners. It's kind of a two-way street there. Regarding congestion, and we make sure that, you know, if we get information from one of the subscribers that there's an incident or traffic's heavy, then especially where we have the ability to post information on our message boards and or check the information using our camera system, we certainly get that information out on the message boards as quickly as we can. I would say that the state of Missouri has a great partnership with the Trucking Association here, and I personally work very closely with the Missouri Trucking Association. They're one of our big partners in the traffic incident management program. So we do share information both ways.
Okay, thank you. The next question, Paul Jodin, I'll start with it for you, but then let the other presenters jump in as well. Can you describe the process by which transportation professionals involved in traffic incident management determine how long an incident will take to get cleared and how that information is shared with the traveling public? Many truck freight moves are time sensitive, so good near real-time traveler information may provide very useful information and significant benefits to commercial vehicle operators.
That's my friend Chip asking a question. You know, there's no hard and fast science on that. Just the experience of the operators who show up on site. And by the way, Paul and Rusty may have other views on this, but mostly it's the experience of the responders who show up on site and say, oh, this is going to be an hour, this is going to be 2 hours. And hopefully, and not always, and it's actually a challenge that we have together as a community, both freight and traffic incident management, is to get that information from the responders to the traffic operations centers, who can distribute it through the other centers and throughout the motoring public. And that doesn't always happen, but it's usually a ballpark to the TM ballpark estimate to the TMC who does their best to push it out. But I think there's a lot of opportunity there for improvement.
Do any of our other presenters want to jump in with anything in response to that question?
This is Paul Clark. I agree with Paul Jodin on that. It's a lot of your estimations, and we generally don't put estimations out to the public. We just put the closure information out, but a lot of those estimations are based upon responder experience and being able to look at that scene and identify the needs of equipment such as that. It's key to coordinate that with our traffic management center so we can post accurate information for the traveler to make a informed decision.
Yeah, and we'll use that information. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Rusty. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, we try to get everybody to follow the NIMS requirements and things, and that's a 15-minute size, every 15-minute size up. It doesn't always happen, but if we can do that, we try to get the information as often as we can, and based on the information and the equipment, like both Paul said, you know, we use the experience that's out there to come up with as close an estimate as possible and continually update that so that the information we're putting out is again, in as close to real time as we can get.
Yeah, and where we may not provide estimates directly, and I think Paul Clark is right, we don't generally see that as an estimate for the duration of an incident, but we will consider how far back we go with the notifications. For example, we may, you know, go further back with message boards, depending on what we estimate the duration to be, and we'll also reach out to adjoining states. My experience in Massachusetts, if I knew it was going to be 2 hours, I'd be reaching out as far as Connecticut to let folks know that the interstate is closed or there's a huge impact. So center to center, state to state, you often do that based on the estimated time, but we typically don't say, you know, that. You know what the estimated time is, because you're probably going to be wrong anyway. So,
this is Vince. I've got a comment from Wyoming. say we don't typically give out estimates because we've been criticized if we've been wrong in the past. But we will make estimates if we think the interstate is going to be closed for in excess of 8 hours. And if those events happen, we'll coordinate with the National Weather Service, and they'll use their emergency broadcast system to get that out to the public.
Thank you. Paul Joden, another question that I'll start off with you and then turn over to the other presenters. For the benefit of the freight-focused attendees on the webinar, can you describe the primary traffic incident management concerns emergency responders have during major incidents, especially ones involving fatalities, and the primary concerns transportation stakeholders, particularly the organizations owning and maintaining the road, have during major incidents? How are the various goals emergency responders and state DOTs have when dealing with major incidents mutually addressed?
That's a more than one question. So the first question was, where is that again?
What are the concerns the emergency responders have, and then what are the concerns that the state transportation stakeholders have?
Well, the first concerns is the responders have is the safety of the responders, and that they're all taught that. The second concern is the safety of any victims that may be on scene, and then the third, we hope, is a third concern is that any motorist that may be in traffic. So proper traffic control set up after the safety issues are addressed on scene. Proper traffic control to minimize any secondary accidents are a concern, and then they move on. And Rusty's probably better. They are concerned about getting the road open. The transportation officials, what can we do to open the road? And I'll leave it there and let maybe Rusty or Paul jump in.
This is Rusty. In working with our partners here in the Kansas City area, the first fire and police, there are life safety issues, like Paul mentioned, and those things have to be taken care of, and then we worry about the safety of our people. But oftentimes the police department, if it's an investigation, they're worried about maintaining evidence and gathering evidence and getting information that's going to make for an airtight case, if you will. And I think what we've done in the Kansas City area is we've worked with them to help them to gather that information and not compromise their investigation while still allowing us to open the road. And that's, we've provided a lot of mapping equipment and things like that, and training for our law enforcement partners so that they can go out, mark their evidence, we can get our roadway back open as quickly as possible, and then they can do their map and complete their investigation at a time that causes less traffic backup or inconvenience for the motorists. And it makes it a lot safer for them, and it makes it safer for our personnel, and minimizes secondary collisions and gets the highway back open for our customers.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, we have a question for Rusty. Would you share your experiences on gaining permission to move particular loads off the roadway from owners?
Well, we have been successful at times in removing, as Paul said, in Florida, there's, sometimes we just need to get things off the road, and that can often be accomplished without doing any more damage to the equipment, that being the truck or to the load. And we work closely at times with the towing industry and the owners of that freight to make sure that while we protect their load, we're able to move it and get the roadway open as quickly as possible. And again, that depending on the training that the towing industry has, whoever the operator is at the scene, and the equipment that they have out there, we hope they have the right stuff. We can oftentimes move a load and get a highway back open and allow them to work in an area that causes less inconvenience, whether it's a median or maybe it's just minimizing the lane closures so that we can keep traffic flowing. I think the owners are pretty understanding if, when it's explained to them properly and it's shown that we can hopefully salvage their load as opposed to having it destroyed by having to drag something or moving things improperly.
Yeah, I'll just jump in for a second. This is Paul Joden again. In many areas of the country, we do ask the responsible party you know, if they can get someone there sooner rather than later. If that local jurisdiction doesn't like what they hear, they're not actually asking for permission anymore. They're going to move the vehicle. If in many locations, if they deem it to be an impact on public safety, which having a road closed is, they will move it. They will move it with their own people by whatever means they determine necessary. And that's called authority removal laws that many states have. Probably about half the states have that authority to just move that vehicle without permission in the interest of public safety.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think we've addressed everything in there, whether by the presenters typing in their responses or answering them over the phone. Looks like maybe we have another question possibly coming in, so we'll give a second or so for that to come in. While we're waiting.
Rusty.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Can I interject some? I just want to make sure I see the question from, and I know it came from Kansas Federal Highway and KDOT. I just want to make sure that that was the answer they were looking for. I hit the right topic for them, as opposed to, I mean, there have been times when we have had loads, not necessarily an incident-related load, but other loads that, because of the type of load that it is and the impact it has on traffic, that we've worked with the carriers to move things off the highway until they could get, especially when we have something coming through at rush hour or something on an oversized permitted load, where we've actually moved them off the highway to a safe location until we can get through with rush hour, so that we'd minimize the impact on traffic and improve safety for everybody that has to travel around it.
Well, it looks like based on the response that Kansas just typed in, you did get them the response that they were looking for. So I think that is all of the questions we have. I don't see anything else. If anybody does think of anything while I'm reading this last bit of information, please feel free to continue to type it in. But I do want to thank all of our presenters for presenting at today's seminar. I also want to thank everybody in attendance. The recording will be available online within the next few weeks, and I'll send out an email when it's available. As a reminder, if you're an AICP member and would like to receive 1.5 certification maintenance credits for attending today, please make sure you are either signed in with your first and last name, or if you're with a group, make sure your name gets typed in the chat box. As a reminder, the seminar is not yet on the AICP calendar, but as soon as it is available, I will send out an email and let everybody know. I encourage everybody to download the evaluation form and send it back to me after you've completed it. The next seminar will be held on September 19th and will be about integrating sustainability analysis into freight transportation projects and programs. Please visit the Talking Freight website shown on the slide on your screen to register for this webinar. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv. That's our primary means of advertising the Talking Freight seminars, as well as providing other freight information, both from Federal Highway and from all the members of the Listserv. So I don't see any more questions at this point, so we'll go ahead and close out. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.